Try to eat Chex because you're going to Maine and the Maine got to learn to naked. Try to beat Bud when the going gets rough, but you gotta see your dude naked. History will beat itself, try and you'll concede. Never doubt that you're the Tom and your knees will not bleed. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing in the matter. Thank you. Thank you, Joe Esposito. This is the Cap Figure Podcast, episode 29.
Oh, my God.
I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Hi, Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, who are some famous number 29s?
So, yeah, we got a couple of big names here. So, interesting fact, the player to wear number 29 the most seasons in the major leagues, John Smoltz. And the player to accumulate the greatest WAR while wearing number 29 is Adrian Beltre.
Adrian Beltre.
In between on both of those, holding number 2 for both of those spots was the famous Rod Carew, who's famous for being
a murderer,
half Jewish,
a murderer. Who am I thinking of?
Greatest WAR per Jewish player.
Really?
I don't know, I guess.
He actually, I thought I would like him more because in the show, I love Rod Carew at second base because he hits 99 against righties contact.
Yep.
But his stats, I didn't like him. I didn't like his player profile as much as I thought, especially when he's playing first base later in his career. And he hit like 300-something every year, but he didn't walk. He didn't hit for extra bases. He's like a really the epitome of like Joe Beningo or some old school lack of understanding baseball. Like, he's a better hitter. Like, they would look at him and then look at Carlos Santana, who bats 240, but he hit 34 homers and 99 walks, versus Rod Carew hit 316, say, you know, and walk 30 times, and they'd be like, Carew's a better hitter.
Yeah, I mean, let's think about just the difference between Beltre and Carew. So Carew was an 81 WAR player in 19 years versus Beltre, who's been a 90 WAR player in 18. So that doesn't seem like a lot, but Carew being a 4-win player a year versus Beltre, who's a 5-win player a year, that's the difference between
a win
hitting
a year.
Singles and hitting home runs.
Oh, right. Or those bases, yeah. And defense, like how good he's been defensively. Beltre's right. Crazy, like how late his career blossomed.
I mean,
like his peak is, he's such an outlier in his career trajectory.
He's going to definitely be a Hall of Famer. I think the big overarching problem with him is, I think people can't really pinpoint exactly a team or a moment with him that's like overwhelmingly memorable, right? Because he went from the Dodgers to the Mariners. He played for the Red Sox for a year. Now he's kind of found a home at Texas. But, you know, like if he put up these numbers with the Yankees,
I get you, or one big playoff run when he hit a bunch of clutch hits or something.
Right.
Right, right. You know, also, the Hall of Fame doesn't like people who you can't touch their head. Like, they really don't like that. I know Piazza didn't get in because if you touched his head, he would flip out because Piazza is gay and had a lot of hairspray and stuff and back knee, so that means he did steroids. Beltre seems very nice. He's scary looking. I always think he knows English better than he does, like, right?
Yeah.
Because he looks just like a black guy.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he would know English, but
you never can guess. You know, I'm at work and these Asians come to the window. And I'm like, the cheapest is $99. And they're like, oh, okay, well, what about the good seats? And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, all right, so this episode we're going to talk about the Astros.
Rastros.
The Houston Astros, who have been really interesting in the last couple years. And we've mentioned them a bunch because of, like, their like obvious tanking when they went to the switch from the NL to the AL and how bad they were around that turn, right? So do you have their records the last couple years?
Yeah, so, you know, the tanking really went into place before the 2011 season when they hired their new GM, Jeff Lunho, who was the number 2 for the Cardinals. So in 11, they really started tanking. They were still a part of the NL at that point, but consecutively in wins, they won 56 that year, 55 in 2012. In 13, they flipped over to the AL and they bottomed out with 51 wins.
Wow.
14 was when they started to kind of get some of these players up, you know, notably Springer. So they won 70 wins in 2014.
You're 55. You're losing over 100 games.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How many losses when they go 51?
111.
Sorry, so go on.
And then, you know, 2015 was the really notable year. It's when Dallas Keuchel really broke out. Carlos Correa came up. Altuve really...
But he blossomed even more.
He gets better every year.
It's crazy, yeah.
And they won 86 wins that year. 2016...
And made the playoffs.
Right, they made the playoffs. They won the division. No, they were won wild the wild card winner.
Beat the Yankees.
And then 2016, 84 wins. And we were talking about this before the podcast. You know, 84 wins, they narrowly missed the wild card. We got to keep that in context, right? Because what did they start, 16-31?
Yeah, something crazy. I have, when is this from? May 1st, the standings, just as a snapshot. Let me see. And they were 8-17. I forget. It got worse and worse as the season went. Like they really picked it up. They dug themselves such a big hole. And in a way, the story of their last season is their structure of their team coming back to bite them a little bit in the high risk, high reward type of approach that they're cool with. In a way, like, you know, walk, hit home runs or whatever. I mean,
three true outcomes.
Sorry. Yes, that is the articulate way. And then I guess on that extrapolated out to a season of 162 games will look like you have a really bad stretch and then you totally kill it for the rest of the season and then end up with a decent record. But they dug themselves too big of a hole. And what, they're pitching? Like, what was the story of their 2016, would you say? I mean, there's a lot. Also, just before you tell me what they ranked and stuff, this was like they tanked all these years. This context is important because we talked about this in 2015 when they're finally good. They end up overgoing for it, we would say, by trading for Ken Giles, who they give up, somebody really good. Like
they gave up three pretty big prospects.
Right, and then they do for Carlos Gomez. They traded for him, and totally they got pretty unlucky with how he fell off. But
right.
The Giles deal was really bad. Like they acted like they were much closer than they were after tanking for 5 years. But who can blame them for getting excited for being this good and having Correa and all this young stuff? So anyway, so that was the story of their last year in the context of the last 5 years. Yeah, but then so what happened last season? Like, why did they start bad and end up not that good?
Yeah, so you know, coming into the season the expectations were really high.
Yeah, they had the same, they were, their total over under wins, sorry, was 87.5. Just they were expected to win it. That's a high over under.
Yeah, so high expectations. It looked like they were a team that was like ready to take the next step to make a World Series push. That bad start, obviously, in hitting, they ranked 14th in OPS, so basically league median hitting team, but they're in the AL, so that's almost, you know, a little bit worse.
Right.
And their stats hitting wise reflect that three true outcomes. They were 24th overall in average, but 14th in home runs. So, you know, they basically laid their team up to hit a lot of home runs, and that just didn't necessarily happen.
Right.
But I think the bigger story was the regression in starting pitching. You had, you know, Dallas Keuchel coming off of a Cy Young year, really was just not
as good. Yeah,
he was maybe at best a pretty good number three starter.
After literally, he won the Cy Young. He was amazing. He won them the playoff game. So they were like 17-24, was almost as bad as it gets. Like in the late May, just to give context, and I think it continued to get worse. So anyway,
But surprisingly, relief pitching was a strength for them. They were 15th overall in starting pitching ERA, 8th overall in ERA for relief pitchers. So,
well, they should with all their guys. I mean, they have what's his name? That weird delivery dude who everyone pays for in the show.
Yeah.
And Giles, who is good.
Yeah.
And then you know, obviously, like, you can only be so bad when you have the best second baseman in baseball. And maybe the best shortstop in baseball, right?
Yeah, you know, Altuve, we talked about it too. Like every year he just gets better.
Dude, he just added to, instead of being more like a Rod Carew profile, like we referenced, where he just a high batting average, steals, but not really walk and extra base hits. Or as Mike Francesa would say, he's a punch and Judy hitter, whatever that means. He added walking and hit home runs this year. So yeah. He's probably on some Barry Bonds juice.
He was the number two overall rank for MLB hitting power rankings, which just is all hitting together. And he was consistent the whole year.
Behind
the
who?
First half he was number two. Second half he was number nine. I believe it might have been Daniel Murphy as number one for hitting in the first half. And then the second half, not sure. I don't have that in front
all
of
good.
Me. But, you know, he's the number two overall hitter in the league.
Yeah, it was definitely Murphy number one probably, yeah. But so he killed it.
I think the, you know, expectations for Correa were so high coming in the year. I know you basically used like what a first round pick on him
in my fantasy league.
Your fantasy league. And you know, the talent's still there. He just turned 22, but I think he, you know, just didn't live up to those like Rodriguez expectations.
Right, which were insane. I mean, in hindsight, it was almost silly to expect that, but just the idea of getting that production out of shortstop, what he did in 2015, extrapolated. He still had a really good year. I mean,
yeah, I mean, he was the 46th overall rank in terms of, you know, those MLB hitter power rankings, which puts him at, you know, the number three hitting shortstop. He's obviously very strong defensively.
But so where did they fall off from 2015, right? They had no center field. I don't know if they did in 2015, though, even. But they had basically real bad center field for the first part of the season, right, with Carlos Gomez.
Yeah.
They had Bregman struggled when he came up for a while, right? And before that, Valbuena. Jason Castro wasn't very good. Yeah, and he has been good in the past, but he just wasn't good. Evan Gattis at DH didn't have a very good year, right?
Yeah, they had obvious holes. And, you know, I guess we'll maybe get into it more, but they really covered up those holes this offseason.
Segue to it. So you enter this offseason, you have this disappointing season. Where first, before we get to what they did do, where would you, if you're the GM of the Astros, you have this core, obviously, of Correa and Altuve and Bregman,
Springer,
who's a giant prospect, and Springer, right? He's a great outfielder, young. Those three or four, if you include Bregman, are the core, but at least three who have clearly produced in the major leagues and are great major leaguers.
Yep.
Great. Are the third best hitter at worst on any team in the league. You know what I mean?
Like, yep.
And so I would try to upgrade starting pitching, but everybody, you know, that's like saying I want a better catcher.
Yep.
So that's a difficult thing to do. Maybe you develop it. Maybe I would say I would draft a pitcher, but how about you? Where would you look to upgrade?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, right? Because obviously starting pitching is what everyone wants. But, you know, I'm less, I'd say, bearish on this starting rotation. You know, Lance McCullers, you know, like, let's see if injury is really kind of part of his dynamic as a player. But he missed half the year when he was pitching. He was a really great pitcher.
Yeah.
Keuchel could have a bounce back year. Colin McHugh was a pretty solid number two starter 2 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. They're all capable.
So, you know, they're going to be like most other contenders in the AL other than Cleveland, where, you know, the number four and five spots are going to be very difficult to fill, and you're probably just going to keep trying to fit in players. Hopefully you get lucky and get a starting pitcher who kind of can at least get you innings. So starting pitching would be the glaring need. They just really couldn't achieve that. So then
they could have been a good candidate, though, to trade for somebody like, you know, Sale or something, if they're willing to go on. Like, I would love this team if they had an ace and didn't sign. Even if theoretically they traded George Springer for Chris Sale, I would like them better than I like them right now.
I agree. I think they just, you know, this goes back to that Ken Giles trade. You know, their farm system, although it's still one of the better ones in the league, it's definitely not as deep as it was, you know, especially.
Well, when guys come up too, when somebody as big as Bregman comes up,
yeah,
and they trade some, there's
you get
no
guys coming up.
Yeah, there's not infinite prospects. So, but you're right. They do have, I guess, a deeper rotation. So
the glaring needs were catcher.
Yeah, which he really had a bad season, year.
You know, you get Brian McCann, who, as a Yankees fan, I was honestly just a little bit sick and tired of seeing him.
And the Yankees are paying 5.2 out of his $17 million. So,
but he's an average, if not better, catcher.
He's above average.
Yeah, he's above average catcher.
Thinking about how weak the position was last year, he's above average. It's just his contract was not that good, so this is a win-win. To get him at the rate of $12 million for the next 2 years, and then they have the full price of the team option in 2019. But to get him at $12 million for 2 years is great.
It's a win. Yeah. Yeah.
And they gave up some low-level prospect, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it was basically a salary dump, like
pretty much.
Okay, right.
The one move I really like is they signed Josh Reddick, who, you know, his value really just fell off the table after he got traded to the Dodgers.
Did he perform poorly in the second half?
Yeah, he performed poorly in the second half, and he really just the whole year he batting wise just couldn't get it together. But I mean,
you've always liked him.
He's in a well above average fielder, so now when you look at their outfield, you can move Springer over to center field.
Has he played center field? I realized that today in researching for this episode. I didn't know that they were planning on doing that. I'll look it up right now.
I don't know. I'm sure he's played a couple of games at center field, but athletically, he has the ability to do it.
He looks like he's taken so much bumps of coke when he's at bat because of his bug eyes. Like, he looks insane when he's batting. But he's such a good, like, I love him as a leadoff hitter in a way, even though he strikes out. Like, he's a likable profile, I guess. I don't know.
And you know, the other great points about McCann and Reddick, they needed to add left-handed bats into that lineup because Springer, Altuve, and Correa are all right.
Yeah, yeah, their main three of their team are righties, so that's a really good point. I forgot about that.
At DH, you know, they were, I think, struggling there for most of the year.
Yeah, Valbuena, Gattis, or
Beltran,
whatever.
So, you know, that's a great addition. He's a switch hitter, so he added a lot of balance to that lineup, which I like.
I guess those are big moves to get McCann, to get Beltran, and to get Reddick, right?
Yeah. I mean, Gurriel is going to play his first, you know, full season. We don't really know.
At first?
Yeah, they've got him slotted in at first.
And then Beltran's just DHing the whole year. Beltran play the field or not there? Not that right field?
I think he can play left field.
That's a good point.
Porch.
But you know what? Given that stadium, somebody like Josh Reddick is a really good play to have a good right fielder. But that makes it even scarier that somebody like George Springer, I'm still looking up, let me see, how many games he might have played at center field. So he played one game at center field last year. He played 8 games at center field in 2015 and 8 games at center field in 2014. So, he's done it, but, teams seem to be willing to put in anybody in center field, like, you know, lately. Like Ian Desmond, right? That wasn't, before the season, we forget that wasn't the plan to put him in center field.
Right.
Like, the plan was just to have him play one of the corners, and then he ended up being good enough to play center. But it was like a joke day one when it was like, they're putting him in center.
Yeah.
And then the Mets putting, like, Granderson in center sometimes, an old guy. But teams are getting away with it, I guess, because they're realizing the jump you have by dominating that slot offensively is so valuable.
I think a name they might be looking out for would be trading for someone like Jerod Dyson, you know, to add. He's a true
defensive
center fielder.
Switch to do like what the Mets do with Juan Lagares, right?
Exactly.
You get a lead in games and then move Dyson to center field and then move George Springer to right and bench Josh Reddick or something like that.
And he would add the dimension of being a stolen base threat off the bench because right now their bench is projected to be Evan Gattis, Jake Marisnyk, Teoscar Hernandez, Marwin Gonzalez. None of those are, you know, stolen base threats. Marisnyk probably the closest to that, but yeah, so a player like that would make
Marisnyk
a lot of sense.
Marisnyk is a good enough fielder, actually. He serves that Dyson role, actually. I forgot. I think he's a good center fielder.
He is.
At least the show would tell you that. You know who Josh Reddick has the best white chin strap, but I really am not about that chin strap life. Like, Luis Valbuena has a good one. They're really very silly.
Edwin does.
What was I going to say? That That stadium, that stupid effing hill, that fucking hill. Sorry, I shouldn't curse. But, yo, what is that?
Well, it's gone this off season.
No way!
They took it away.
Oh, why'd they have it?
We don't know why they had it to begin with.
Dude, here's exactly what happened. Minute Maid and the Astros are like, all right, we got to build a park. Let's hire some contractors. And the contractors, because they're in Houston, near Mexico, they hired some contractors who subcontracted it. The next thing you know, the owner is looking around and they're giving him a tour. And they're like, here, Mr. DiPaolo, here's the outfield. He's like, oh, why is that hill there? Is that going to stay there? And then they're like, Pedro. He's like, yeah. Like, why is that hill there? And he's like, it's like, Pedro, we can't. This is a major league ballpark. We can't have a hill in the middle of center field. You think that's insane? We're not gonna play like that. He's like, there's some garbage there, so we built a field around it. And he's like, he's like, how much to fix it? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And then the contractor above Pedro, who's charging the owner $10 million for a day of Pedro's labor, says, it'll be another $10 million, and the owner's like, you know what? Let's start a new trend of injuring players and making a retarded field. I actually like it though. Seriously, because that's one of the things we talked about that makes baseball cool is that each stadium is different. Football, they're all 100 yards, but no, not in baseball. You could put a literally a career-ending hazard in the middle of the playing field.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
The Jets should put like a lava pit in their 20-yard lines.
It would maybe make the games a little bit more fair for them.
So, what do you think they're going to be good this year? Like what?
Yeah, they should be good.
I don't like them. I would say under 87.5 wins if that's their projection.
The thing is for me is, when you look at the division, you know, the Angels are not even worth talking about, so we'll just skip them. But the Athletics are probably not going to be a contender.
Dude, their whole roster last year, just real quick, and if you added up all their wars by fan graphs, the Athletics had 4 wins above replacement. Then the next worst had 10. It goes 10, 10, 12, 11, you know, it's like 4.
I mean, that's why they won 69 games.
Yeah, they're tank mode.
So then you have the Mariners and the Rangers. The Rangers, I would argue, got worse this offseason because they don't have Beltran anymore. They lost a lot of the
Ian Desmond is gone.
Higher end talent. Yeah, they lost Ian Desmond too. Cole Hamels was pitching at, I would say, the best he probably could of last season. They get Darvish back. Their bullpen is not good. So I'm a little bit less optimistic about the Rangers. The Mariners, to me, I think are just – you don't really know what to expect, but I would say that there's no way they're going to replicate what they did this year, which was 86 wins.
Yeah.
So I would say that the Astros, you know, they would be my pick to win the division.
Well, they're the third favorite in the AL, like we talked about last episode, after the Red Sox at 2.25-1, and then the Indians at 4-1. It's the Astros at 6-1, and then just for context, the Blue Jays 10-1, and everyone else after that. Do you feel that's accurate? You're saying?
Yeah, I think that they're the clear favorite to win that division,
and which therefore makes sense that they would be 6-1, because that's a big thing to be one of the 3 teams in the playoffs.
And they're a team that, look, we're gonna need to see. I think McCullers could be a front end starter.
Yeah, I like him.
I really do think, you know, you mentioned Sale, but I think that if they start off this year and really are in contention closer to the deadline, I think this is now the year where you're going to see them really go full force at going all in, and they're going to trade guys like Daz Cameron, Kyle Tucker, who are top prospects, and then really try and, you know, acquire that ace. They have really kind of shied off after, you know, that trade for Giles. It would be really
and
hard.
And Gomez, it's like those two deals, they really, really
depleted their farm system.
And on getting unlucky. I mean, But the Giles deal, like we said, the nature of it is like, oh, we're a closer away, like trading for a closer is such a ballsy move, you know, in a way. And so, whatever. I mean, I guess at the time Dallas Keuchel's coming off a Cy Young winning season, but obviously I don't like him. Yeah, and I guess you're right. But yes, this season, if they're going well, this is the year. Like, this is their window, and I would not blame them at all. And in fact, I would like, if they did it, I would be cool with them going for an ace, like trading for somebody like Chris Archer or somebody, I don't know, and just going for it because Dallas Keuchel, they're not winning game one of a series in the pitching window matchup against anybody in most of baseball that's eligible for the playoffs.
Right, but you know, the one thing we said too about this team is they have a high variance.
Yeah,
and that is always true. A positive thing when you get to the playoffs,
right?
Because,
well, it's all you need in the playoffs, really. Right.
Yeah, like the consistent. Let's say, you know, 7 of the 8 teams are consistent in the playoffs.
Yeah, right. I'd
you want to
have
be
the team
outlier.
That could get hot, right? Because the goal isn't to win one or two series. The goal is to win 3 or 4. What is it? 4, 3.
And this team, you know, if you add an ace, or even if it's someone like, let's say they add Jose Quintana and McCullers is able to like string together a good season, you know, Keuchel, Quintana, McCullers, or you know, insert another number 2. That's good enough. You only need 3 starters.
No, you're right. That's the conversation once you're in the playoffs. Even if you didn't add Quintana, if it's an argument, let's just theoretically, like I threw out before, George Springer versus Chris Sale. But let's not make Chris Sale so good, right? Well, do you think they would do that trade, those two teams, money aside? Like, I think that's an even trade. They ended up, like, I mean, getting a giant prospect, like...
Which trade is this?
Springer for Chris Sale. Like, don't you think that that's, like, an appropriate value?
That would be pretty close for me, yeah.
That just came to mind, like, at the start of the episode. So, anyway, just...
That makes a lot of sense
so for me. So, let's say we're debating that. You know, if I knew I'm making the playoffs, I'm probably with you, which goes against the grain, but I may still rather have the Springer version because, like you're saying, and it's such a good point, your goal isn't to be consistent and win one or two series or one or two games. It's to get hot and win the World Series.
Yeah.
But if you tell me before the season, I want the Sale on the team because I want to make sure that we get to the playoffs, and I don't think this team is so good or in such a weak division that they're definitely going to make it. And George Springer does too much crack. So I don't know.
Yeah, I just, you know, the other thing we talked about is like, you look at this team, I bet if you look at their production from catching offensively was in the bottom 5 of all the majors, and they take a huge step up in that. So, you know, when you forecast from one year to another, you want to see huge improvements at certain areas. So, like we said,
I guess you're right. There's clear spots where they can do better.
Catcher, then you move Springer over to center field. So you have Springer there instead of Carlos Gomez.
And either Bregman is going to produce, or if he stinks as bad, then they're going to send him down.
Yeah.
Right? So that will be probably an upgrade by default, one way or the other.
Beltran's bat at DH is a huge upgrade.
Well,
and then,
potentially. I mean, Gattis did poorly last year, but
Beltran's
old.
But
he was great.
He produced this year. He's
yeah, I guess he's infinite. Beltran is the fountain of mole.
Fountain of mole?
Yeah, he has that cute mole.
You remember when when they painted his head with a Sharpie?
No, why?
On the Rangers? Yeah, Beltran had Rougned Odor draw on his head with a Sharpie.
Yo, you get ink diabetes like that.
Well, it was because Odor was making fun of Beltran for being bald, and then Beltran made fun of Odor because he has, like, a stupid haircut. So he just drew in his head like a Lego person.
That's funny. That's cool. I'm glad he fit in. I'm glad Odor didn't punch him in the face because that's how he seems to settle his disputes.
But, you know, another thing, look, 2016, $100 million payroll. Their projection for this upcoming year is 129, and that's net of what the Yankees are taking on. So they're paying 129. That's a significant jump. To me, that shows that the ownership is definitely willing to support the team. And I think it's just, you know, these moves show that the team is ready to take that next step, and they really believe that their time is now. Because as much as we don't want to talk about it, with a player like Correa, you know, the clock starts because he's going to leave Houston at some point, more than likely.
Oh, don't make them sad. I don't want to, that's like, I hate it when they talk about the Mets with the pitchers, and it's like, yeah, well Harvey's going to leave. It's like, guys, it's 3 years, stop it. Maybe he won't.
Maybe he won't.
What's Altuve's deal? How long is he there for?
Let's see.
He's a midget, yo.
So he is...
Remember, you know they had a midget bat once and he walked in real baseball?
Yeah, I told you about this for the Cardinals. He got one at bat, he walked.
In like the 20s or something, right?
Yeah.
Or the 10s?
All right, so Altuve, he's set to make $5 million and then he has two club options for 18 and 19.
Oh, my God,
wow.
$6
million and $6.5 million. So after 2019, he's a free agent.
Oh, man. So the where was it? The I'm looking at the WAR by team production. The Astros at catcher got I don't see them. This is horrible radio. No, they were eighth in WAR in 2016 at catcher.
What is that? That's overall WAR
on the season.
Defensively too.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're right. Let me sort it by offensively. I'm gonna sing while I look stuff up because I don't know how to do radio that well. No, they were 12th. I don't know, maybe because of the games Evan Gattis played at catcher. Maybe it's the whole thing. But either way, McCann is an upgrade. Yankees were number one in offensive production, but against Gary Sanchez, Avi, but still part of that is McCann. He's a good catcher. There's not many good catchers in baseball.
Right.
And number two Nationals for the guy who never got paid. So, whatever. I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. I just don't feel like... yes, they upgraded a catcher, but it's not as much as we both thought just now looking at that. And also, I guess DH is an upgrade in the right field move I like. Whatever. Forget them. So we're done. That's it, right?
That's it.
Yo. So you got anything else to say? Houston, just by the way, my dad's city power rankings is last. He said it's just strip malls. And fat people. He didn't say the fat people part, but he said it in so many words.
I think Charles Barkley said something like that about San Antonio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There is no such thing as San Antonio. San Antonio is a Walmart. There's one little river with some Mexicans and sombreros singing stuff. By the way, I love Mexicans. I made Mexican jokes today. I love you. You're in my power rankings of races. You're second behind white people.
Okay.
Blacks, you got to step it up in 2017. You're really lagging behind.
All right.
So check out our episode next week where I'll spew more power rankings about the races and see if women can make the jump in gender up my power rankings list. I'll give you a clue. Probably not. All right. So leave a review or subscribe, please. It's already in your app and your phone. That's it. Goodbye. Now the field is going to just have this hill. I'm sorry, mister.